Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to have you. You're welcome back next Sunday, too. Really looks good, all of you here, and that. Thank you. You know, I was asking people this morning as they came in, those that we've been praying for, those that really had some real big needs, and I was just asking, how you doing? And you know, each one were saying, we're doing so good. God has done this, he's done that, he's healing me. I'm just amazed that, and thankful that God is touching and answering all of our prayers. And, you know, as we met to pray for the election, even, what was that, Monday? God moved in such a powerful way. Have you noticed that? What a miracle that was. You know, I had almost given it all up. And I know how the cheating went last time. And so I'm like, Lord, please don't let that be the issue this time. And I'm sure there was a little bit of it going, but God says, no, I'm going to put another man in office that's going to hear me. And that's going to do what I want to do and how I want them to bless America. So now it's our turn. But you know, the Lord kind of got a hold of me, and it was kind of bittersweet to me. You know, with the persecution and the things that were going so negative in the States, I noticed how it was drawing us closer to God. And then I was thinking, Lord, you've so blessed us. Now what are we going to do? You know, when they hit the towers and they fell, churches filled up after that for a while. And then they just kind of dwindled. And so the Lord kind of showed me is, I've done this for you because you asked me. He says, now what are you going to do with it? So I guess I want to throw that out to all of us today is we've been blessed and we are blessed and things are going to change, folks, big time in God's favor, in our favor. See, God wants to bless us. He doesn't want it to end. And it's kind of like, all right, it started. What are you going to do with it? You're going to continue to walk with me and serve me and desire me? Or because you get fat and sassy that you just kind of back off. So it's kind of up to us, folks. So I just want to throw that out to you. And the Lord, even as I thought about it and prayed about it, the Lord gave me a message really on it, I thought, to kind of look at this situation. And I want to be diligent to share that with you. I hope that none of you are here just wanting another pretty face up here, right? Not much danger in that probably, but anyway, I want to preach the word, and I'm going to preach the word, and I want you to hear it with an anointing, and the anointing is this, that you open your heart and you say, God, show me, you teach me, give me your word, and I open my heart, and I receive it. And I'll serve you with it. So that's my prayer for you, that we receive that and that the anointing would just bless your socks off. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Starting with verse 14, and it's talking about the lukewarm church. So let me pray before we start. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. Father, for each one that is here. And I ask, Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would grant such an anointing, Lord, that our hearts would open and we'd just be submissive to you and to your word. Father, we receive your blessing. Lord, we don't want it to be just for a little while, but for the rest of our lives. So, Lord, thank you for all the prayers that have been answered and all the desires of our hearts are now seemingly coming to true. And, Lord, we just give you praise for it. We're just so excited This is like a new day, like a new birth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 14, it says this. It says, write the following to the message of the congregation in Laodicea, for these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So it's the words of Jesus to his church. So let's see. Well, in fact, let me just give you a definition of what Laodicea means. It means human rights are self-righteousness. You know, it's like feeling entitled. Anybody know how it feels to be entitled? You know, I used to, but it doesn't always work, right? I got disappointed a lot. And to be entitled, let's just give a brief description of it. It's the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatments. So that's where a lot of us get after all the blessings are coming, we're feeling good, and then we kind of feel entitled, like, well, you owe me. And we're not appreciative anymore when you're entitled. It's just like, no, you just do it. I got a grandkid like that. And, you know, it. You try to do something for her, and it's like they just almost throw it back in your face. It's like, you owed me anyway. It's not a big deal. And you kind of feel like maybe you don't want to do so much for him anymore. You ever get that way? I'm glad God doesn't get that way, though. Now, in verse 15, it says, I know all that you do. He's talking to this church, Laodicea. I believe this is the Laodicean church age, really, the lukewarmness. Look at a lot of churches, are pretty lukewarm. Good people, but lukewarm. And he says, I know all that you do, and I know that you are neither frozen in apathy nor fervent with passion. How I wish you were either one or the other. So many lack of responsivity to something that might normally excite interest or emotions. You know, a lot of times you can stand and you can preach, and even when you talk to your kids or your grandkids, it's kind of like they roll their eyes, you know, and then you got to make them put their phone down. And it's like they just goes right over their head, whereas they should maybe take note of it and desire a change or the realization of the blessings. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are like that in church. We hear a good message. In fact, a lot of people, we go to church so we can just kind of hear a good message. You know, we want to be lifted up and patted on the back, and that's all good, and we do need that at times. I want to tell you, we do need it at times. But yet we need some words from God, you know, and God is not cutting us down, but he's trying to always prepare us and make us ready so that he can bless us even more. So we got a God that's love. He doesn't just have love, he is love. And he can bless us with everything. And so he wants to do that. His storehouse does not run out of gifts, you know. He's willing and able to provide and do, and his desire is to do that for us. But we got to be to where we can actually receive it. So he says there's people that don't see that. They don't understand. So what we've got to do, I think, is guard against lukewarmness, and self-righteousness and passivity. Passivity is the acceptance of what happens without active response or resistance. Folks, when things happen to us, what do you do? You know, I kind of get this picture in my head that when a cold comes, I think I'm getting a cold. Okay, but maybe we ought to try to do something about it, like maybe not accept it. I kind of picture it as a vacuum cleaner salesman or something like that, a salesman that comes to my door, knock, and of course they're wanting to sell you a product. And I want to tell you, most salesmen are very good. I bought a vacuum cleaner once, and it's like, why'd you do that? But they're good at what they do. And that's what the enemy does. A lot of times he'll knock on your door, and you'll say, man, I think I'm coming down. It's got to be the flu. I think I'm getting a flu. Why do you do that? Why don't you just, my wife, when we get a call, anybody get a sales call? Less than 20 a day? You know, because they're coming all the time. And I'm trying to be nice and I'm listening. And I hate just hanging up on people. But they won't let you go. I'm not interested. No, thank you. I am not going. No, thanks for calling. And then I'll gently hang up. And my wife, she's a little different. But very good. And what she'll do is, no, I don't want any. And she hangs up just like that. And it's like, why don't we learn to do that when a cold or a temptation or something else tries to take hold of us? Y'all understand? I have family problems. Like, wait a minute. No, we're not accepting that. We're not taking division in our family. And I tell them that. Somebody gets upset with someone else. No, you go hug. You go deal with this. That's not going to be in our family. God wants to divide the family and destroy us. And we're not going to let it. Like you guys were blessed here. Well, God's bringing you back. It's like it's just the devil getting in the middle of things, trying to destroy it. And we just sometimes not knowing, let it happen. But you got to know who you are in Christ. I have Jesus in me, and so do you if you have Christ, if you're saved. And that's a big deal. And the enemy knows it, but he's trying to keep you from realizing it. He doesn't want you to know you have any kind of power or strength that you can actually say no and not receive it. And he can't make you take it. So we got to stop being that way where we just let things happen. Now when I get sick, I speak to it. People may think I'm weird, but it's like, hey, it's better than having the flu. So we got to be strong. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Verse 16. But because you're neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, he says, I can't take you either. I'm just going to spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. He wants us one or the other, folks. If you wanna be lukewarm, that's fine. Just don't share Jesus so much. Stay clear of it because I watch out for that even with me, because I don't want to bring any bad thing or bad impression on the Lord. How do people see the church? Through the eyes of lukewarm people? Why would I go to church, man? I don't want to be messed up as they are, right? And that's what a lot of people think. They don't go to church. It's like, why would I want to go to church? I got enough problems. So if you're just going to be lukewarm, work on trying to get hot for the Lord and be excited in him. So the Lord says, man, I just got to spew you out. I can't take it. This is not a complete rejection of the Lord. So Jesus gives us a call to repent and return to a place being passionate and zealous for God. We don't want to be prideful in anything, though. Verse 17, it says, "For you claim," and this is what happens. And that's where a lot of people have been in the past. It's like, I don't need anything. Verse 17 says, "I'm rich and getting richer. I don't need a thing. Yet you are clueless that you are miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked." You know, I talk to people about, you know, the Lord and about going to church, and it's like, I'm doing pretty good. The way the world is set up now, it's set up basically that for the most part, we don't need God. Only when a problem comes up, then we seek out a little bit and try to get some help. But otherwise, we're to the point that we really don't need God. And folks, I don't want to be like that. I know that every breath that comes to me, it's a blessing from God. The reason any of us do so good is because it's from God. Now, how many think the devil wants to be good to you? He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take everything you got. What do you think happened to him on election day? He was upset because he wants to take everything from us and he wants to destroy us in it. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes and your sakes, he became poor, and you through his poverty might become rich." So Jesus isn't asking us to give up things just on our own, but to realize that he's already done it. He's already done everything just for us. What do you think, or where do you think we would be now if Jesus hadn't come and given up his position in heaven to be treated like he was? To suffer on Calvary's cross and to die? Folks, that was hard for him to do. How about us? How hard is it for us sometimes to maybe humble ourselves? There's times I go and I talk with people and they're not wanting to hear answers. They're wanting to tell me where they're at. And I just got to bite my tongue and at times just bite my tongue and listen. And pray for them. And not judge them, but pray for them. Love them anyway. Become friends with them. So that one day maybe the Lord can speak through you, or even through the way you live and how you treated them. They knowing they didn't deserve a good treatment, but yet you treated them good. How you can turn their heart. Folks, we've got to realize the power, the strength, all that we have. But we've really got to give a lot of things to the Lord. Don't let anything get in your way. All that we do is just way too important. So verse 18, "So I counsel you," Jesus said. He says, "Purchase gold perfected by fire so you can be truly rich. Purchase a white garment to cover and clothe your shameful, sinful nature. Purchase eye salve to be placed on your eyes so that you can truly see." You know, they say with the economy going the way it was and money wasn't going to be worth anything, you know, dollar bills, it just wasn't worth anything. Most stores now won't take change. A lot of them won't even take cash. So they were encouraging people, man, if you want to be wealthy, you got to buy gold. Get gold, have gold on, because it's a precious metal and it's not affected by what coins are and the dollars and all of those. So a lot of people have bought coins of gold and of silver, precious metals, because they didn't know what money was going to do. But you know, that goes the same way with us, with God and receiving Jesus. Folks, let me tell you, you are very poor. The people that don't know Jesus are very poor. Very poor. They have nothing. Because one day they're going to have to step into eternity. Anybody think you're not going to go into eternity? In other words, leave this earth? If there is anybody here, we'll pray for you later, okay? But we're all going to go there and we're all going to meet our end. And if we want to be able to stand and walk with God, we've got to have some gold. Do you have some precious metal? Do you have it, or do you just have a bunch of dollars? Folks, do you know that all your money is going to burn up anyway? All of your good works, all that you have. You know, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You know, for an individual who just crossed over to the other side, to eternity. You know, they don't take anything with them. They don't take anything with them. But you can take some gold. You can take gold with you. That's Jesus. And it says, this is Christ to be our gold. The wealth of Christ is not purchased with money, but by faith. We receive Jesus by simply trusting. So, Lord, I need more. I need to be changed. Purchase of white garments so that the shame of nakedness of you will not be exposed. Christ will be our white garment and our eye salve that helps us to see things as they truly are. Folks, we need some revelated knowledge, and that's what the eye salve does. It gives us some revelated knowledge. Lord, what are you really trying to say? Lord, what do you really want me to do? Because a lot of people don't understand what Jesus is trying to say to people. A lot of times we look at it as the do's and don'ts. Well, if I become a Christian, I have no more fun. I have to get rid of all my friends. I can't do anything anymore. And it's just a bunch of don'ts. So it's not too attractive to people. But folks, I tell you what, when you receive Jesus and you get some gold in your pockets, let me tell you, you feel different. You feel more secure. You feel more blessed. You're more ready to walk with the Lord and conquer the world and the problems that it faces. So we've got to learn how to purchase what God has just by faith, simply asking and receiving. You know, in Matthew 22, 1 through 14, there's a parable there. There's a parable of the wedding feast. And during the wedding feast, the king made it all ready. The dinner was ready. Kind of like we got going downstairs, smell it. It's ready. It's ready and waiting for us. And so the king had it all ready. Then he sent his servants out. Now, what would happen if none of you went downstairs to eat? All of the people that prepared all this good food and brought it in would be so disappointed. It's like, we did it for nothing? So that's why they really want you to go down and eat. Just save me some, okay? But the king had it all ready. Killed the fatted calves. He did everything. Just a big bash that they had. And so he says, go invite them to come. And he did. You know, they made light of it. Nah, I don't think so. Not really important. I'll let that go. Maybe next time. Call me next time, that's right. And it says that they went to their farms and they went to their businesses. And the messengers went back and told the Lord, they made light of it. They didn't want to come. Wasn't important for them. He says, well, go out to the highways and byways and all the places and find the people and compel them to come in. He says, I've made this and prepared it for everybody. And he says, I want my place full. See, that's God's heart. He wants you. There may be other people that don't even like you, but God loves you and he wants you to be part of his family. He wants to be able to bless you and lead you and keep you and brag on you. Do y'all know that God brags? Jesus says, this is my son or this is my daughter. And he says that to the Father, even to the angels. You're special, but you're invited to that feast. But will you go? Verse 11 of that parable, it says, now when the king entered, they had all the people come in from the highways and the byways, and it was all filled. And it says, so the king entered the banquet hall. He looked with glee over his guests, just excited, seeing all of them, you know, in there. The house is filled and everybody is enjoying themselves. It says, but then he noticed. He noticed a guest who was not wearing the wedding robe provided for him. We talked about the white garment. Folks, that's provided. Like the gold is provided by faith. Because of what Jesus did and who he is, he becomes that white garment for us as well. When God looks at you, when you feel bad about yourself and you just messed up, and you think God's angry, God looks at you and you know what he sees? Sees Jesus. So he's not discarded. He's not thrown away. He's not given up. So he noticed that one was not wearing the wedding robe and it was provided for him. It's kind of like those that come to church. They may think they're saved because they know Jesus or know about him. Maybe they've even gone forward and said the sinner's prayer. And they still don't have that gold. And they don't have that wedding garment on. But they think they're okay. We give invitations after messages. A lot of times come up for prayer if you have any need. And a lot of them don't. And should. But they think they're okay. That's like the one that went to the thing and he thought, I'm bringing my own clothes. I don't like that. I got a fancier robe. I've got this or that. You know, I'm better than so-and-so anyway. So, you know, I'm good to go. I know God's happy with me. And they're out of place. They don't have the robe on. You know what the king said when he seen him? He says, man, how'd you get in here without the wedding robe? And it says the man was lost for words. And that's how we're going to be, because we're all going to stand before Jesus in eternity. And we're going to have to give an account. All of us are. If you're wearing the white robe, you'd be good. But if not, and you have your own clothes on, you're not going to go in a good way, in a good place. Because the king here, when he asked him, the man couldn't answer and didn't say a word. And then the king says to his servants, bind him. Bind him up. And casting out into a place where there's going to be fire burning him, where the worms never die. I'm adding that, but that's the place and the things that are there. He says, cast them out into everlasting darkness. Just because he wouldn't humble himself and receive the robe. So folks, where are you today? Do you have that robe? Have you humbled yourself and said, Lord, you know best? I may not understand it all, but Lord, I trust you. I don't want to live another day with all of this doubt or any fear. Lord, I don't want to be bound one day and cast into hellfire. I don't want to be that one. So I'll just surrender now. Lord, I give my life, my heart to you, and I receive Jesus because I know he's the only way. And he paid it all for me. And so I receive that freely by faith. I get that gold, that precious gold that's been tried by fire. Let me tell you, it's not maybe all rosy, and all Christians know that. We go through our things, right? But do you know what that does? That purifies what you got. Man, I've had a lot of purification. I've been through a lot of hard, hard times. But I look back at it and I said, Lord, thank you. You brought me through it. It hurt. I prayed to get out of it. But Lord, you wouldn't take me out of it. You took me through it. And you know, after I went through the fire, that I don't even smell like smoke. And when I was in the fire, guess who was with me? Jesus. I wasn't alone. How many of you are lonely right now? How many are really lonely? I mean, God, am I ready to go? God, am I? I know there's a heaven and a hell, but where am I going, Lord? Folks, I've sought that out. It's like, God, where am I going? You know, it's not how you start that's really important, but rather it's how you finish the race. You run the win. And that's what we do as Christians. We're running like a race, like a marathon. And we prepare for it. And God deals with us. It's like putting us on a special diet. See Kathy for that. She knows all them special diets. Food to eat and not to eat. For Jack's sake. But that's what it's all about. God changes our life. We eat different. We exercise more. We do different things because we want to prepare. We want to be a good racer. How many like to come in last? You know what I mean? Man, I don't want to be last. I want to be first. But if I'm not first, I'm going to work the hardest that I can to be the best that I can. See, when I preach a message, I want the anointing of the Lord to touch people's lives and hearts. I don't want it to just be words, empty words, or just make people laugh. You know, that's all good, and there's nothing wrong with a lot of that. But is it changing your heart? I want to tell you now, not everyone in here I know is not saved. Most of you know who you are. Some of you may not quite understand yet. But I want to tell you, God loves you, and there is a way out. There is a way to be saved. There's a way to know. Man, we got to purchase some gold here. Precious gold, which is Jesus. And how you do that is not with money, not with your works, but simply by faith, saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Come and be part of my life. I give you my heart right now. And that's all you got to do. And then take up your cross and follow him. Folks, the people that are most fulfilled and excited and not bored any longer are those who are Christians on fire for Jesus. Because something happens all the time. You see people blessed. You see miracles. You get to minister and help someone else. You know, the word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Non-Christians don't feel that most of the time. So folks, I'm just offering to you, do you see the miracle God did with this election? All you young people, you now have a lot of hope. But you didn't have much hope before. Because it was all going down the tubes, being flushed. And you were going in a bad way, losing all hope and chance of having a good life. But see, if you turn down this feast that the Lord set up for you right now, you'll still be going down the tubes. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would just touch your people. And Father, those that don't know you yet, that they would come to a place and a time, Lord, that they would realize, I need help. I need you, Jesus. Will you come? Be my gold. Be my white garment. Cover me. And protect me. I give my heart, my life. Lord, I give it all to you. And I thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Joyce is going to sing a song. We sing with her. As soon as she's finished, if you allow me, I'd like to do the closing song.